Blog Talk Radio.
Thinking about the world, looking at the nation. Suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind. Times are changing, yeah. No more rumors, there are wars going on. Twisted doctor, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall. People dying for no reason at all. People of God don't even read their Bibles. There's no faith, no trust in the word. But everybody seems to be quoting scripture. It's just another word they heard. Pastors leaving pulpits cause they're tired. It's all based on how we feel. Overheard two people speaking the other day. One said that God's not real, but I'm just one of them more people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Oh, I'm just one of them old people God's got a hold on. And I believe. So I'll choose to look on the brighter side in spite of all the negativity I'm surrounded by. No, it ain't perfect, but that's alright. Cause his hand is on me and it's keeping me alive. So many disappointments. So much I don't understand. So much I don't have answers for. That's what makes me trust you more. In a world that's always changing, everything's rearranging. But no matter what's going on, I'ma be standing, I'ma be holding on. Your truth, their truth, my truth. Your God, my God, our view. All I know is one thing nowadays, is we all need hope, we all need faith, and I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yes, he is. Oh, I'm just one of them old people God's got a hold on. Don't you let go of me, Lord, please. I believe, yeah. Oh, I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yes, he is. Oh, I'm just one of them old people. God's got a hold on. I believe.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to Ko Elohim here at Iblis Culture, by the way of Baltimore, Maryland, from Bet Yahweh camp here in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm your brother, Ariel, back again with another segment in Yahweh's Mighty Men. Another segment. Matter of fact, it's part one. Last week we went into the introduction. The Sabbath is upon us. We got a few more minutes before the Sabbath door be open to all. May all take rest in them. Let me open up with a prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Torah Abaya, for once again, giving us life, once again, for protecting us, Father, in these trying times that we're in, Father. I ask that you protect all Yisrael, Father. all those who take hold of your covenant and have the testimony of your son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Father. I ask that you look over all of us, Father, while we're in these trying times today, Father. I ask for the elders, Father, that you keep watch over them, Father, over the Enos, Father, over the Akoti, Father, over the Ox, Father, and more importantly and most importantly, Father, over the Kohanim, Father, those who you have put in charge to be watchmen over your nation, Father, have you put in charge to be watchers for your people, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I ask and pray for your Ruach to come through tonight, Father, that I may speak what you have given me, Father, that I may speak boldly what you have given me, Father. May all those who hear, Father, get understanding, Father, edification for their spirit, Father, and may we grow as a nation, Father, as a body of Mashiach, Father, so we become what you want us to become, Father, and not what man thinks. In Yahushua's name I pray. Amen. We're hitting the opening prayer. Blessing. Bless all you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as the heritage, a remembrance of creation. Bless are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Amen. Well, welcome all those who are aboard this journey, who are on this journey with us, and welcome those in the future who will listen to this, and may you be edified. May I will open up your understanding and give you what you need from his lessons. Well, what I want to say is, hallelujah, all glory and honor belongs to Yahweh. All glory and honor belongs to Yahweh. I am nothing but a man, but dirt, what he uses, who has flaws, who has doubts, and who has sin. But by the grace of Yah, he has set his rock upon me. He has set his eye upon me, he has set his favor upon me, nothing of my own doing, only by his grace. And I told Yah for that. I thank him for that. For those who don't know, I thank him for all those who he has set his eye upon, who he has set apart, who he has made holy. Yahweh said in his word, he make holy who he wants to make holy. So who am I to argue with that? Nothing but a mere man. But as I was going through the day and always meditating all week long and about the lesson, because I had part two last week, but I think we just made some some adjustments to it and all that, as I will always do, because you have a thought. And you go with that thought till you sit down and you said, I'm going to put mind to paper. Spirit to paper, and you start writing things down to what he gave in your mind. I know I do. I still write things down. I'm old-fashioned like that. And earlier this week, I'm thinking about the word and just meditating on this time of year, and I believe Brother Yaquiel and Todai Yah for the watchers, those that watch the time and watch the moon, Brother Yariel and Brother Shabbael, Todai for that. Thank y'all, brothers, for that. For being the watchers, for keeping Israel on point. Thank you for that. We know, Abba, you gave them, brothers, that spirit to see the movement of your lights. So, ta-da for that. And we was talking about Yariel sent out how once the sun set, we'll be in the third day, if I'm correct. I believe, he had to call Shabbat, he told me yesterday. And just meditating on this time of year, because the day before yesterday was the first. And we know we supposed to take the whole month of Abib, and we supposed to consider the month of Abib, the scriptures say. Supposed to look at it, we supposed to mark it. You know, we supposed to pay attention to the month of Abib. You know, we understand that in this month that Pesach comes, the Feast of Unleavened Bread comes. But I would still say, pay attention to this month. You know, we all know the time that we're in and where we're at right now in history. Right now in history, we're dealing with what the world has coined a pandemic. Whether who brought it here or not, that's not the focal point. That's not the focal point. But just like when the brothers and I, we watched this video the other day, and the guy said something very interesting on it. He said that don't let no crisis go to waste, so to speak. He said whatever major crisis in this world, he said, don't let that go to waste. And I believe in him saying that we know where it comes from, Hasatan, but Yahweh uses the same thing. He uses the same thing that teaches his people. These crises that come through in different times in Israel's life, he used these crises to teach us what's going on, you know, and meditating again where we were and where we are right now. And we're coming up upon Pesach and meditating in we in this pandemic and all this is coming to my mind, and I'm thinking about it, and the thoughts that came to mind was, well, you know, right after Pesach, Israel was in the wilderness. And then another thought came to mind, well, you know, right after Pesach again, Israel was on the move. Israel was being sieged, and Israel was being scattered throughout. You know, somebody like, hey, well, what Pesach you talking about? I'm talking about the two most important Pesachs in Israel history. The very first one, when we left Mizraim, Egypt. The second one, which is the most important Pesach. But the first one was a schoolmaster, as the brother Shaul taught us and said in his word, that it taught us about what the Messiah was going to do. But within both of these Pesachs, something happened right after. And now we're in a pandemic, and Pesach is coming. Pesach is coming. So what's going to happen after this Pesach? I'm just food for thought, just that things that was coming through my mind and was opening up. So I'm taking the same route that Hogan took. You know, Hogan got mad at the Marylanders here. He came on the news last week, and he basically scolded us. Basically said, y'all looking at this as this a vacation. This ain't no vacation time. People out there, he didn't say barbecuing. He said cooking out, so we know who we're talking about when he said cooking out, having parties. You know, with certain terms are being used. They say barbecue, we say cookout. You don't hear black people hollering, oh, we're going to have a barbecue next week. No, we're cooking out, baby. We're getting out there. We put something on the grill. That's what we do. That's how we talk. But the same adage that he's taking, I'm taking. But he's talking to Marylanders, and I'm talking to spiritual believers. Now ain't the time. This ain't no vacation. This what's going on right now in this world, as Abba has removed everything out of our lives. He has removed the sports. He has removed the entertainment. We can't even go nowhere. We don't. What we need to buy clothes for? What we need to buy underwear and stuff like that. I hope I don't have to get tedious and somebody say something like that, but we know Israel. But what we got to buy only but food, deodorant and stuff like that, yeah, we know, I understand that. But we don't need to go saying I'm going to get a new outfit. We don't need to worry about getting dressed. Only those who are going out to work, which they will call essential workers, that's it. And I've just been wearing sweats. I have sweatpants and every day, because I'm not even trying to put on clothes. I ain't going nowhere. Where I'm going? Going to a house. Maybe drive a clown around all day long. But I ain't going to my. I would have taken everything away. So when we get in our time, and those who do not have to go out in the world, but those at home, take advantage of it. Get closer to Abba. Build your spiritual inner person. Build that spiritual inner person, because something coming after this. something is coming, echoing what Zach and Amin El said the other day with his lesson. Something is coming. And the same thing we talked about last week, build that spiritual mindset, build that mind, build that physical. All of them. You can't go nowhere, walk around your block. And even with that, get your mask and gloves, because that's serious too. That's serious. And now, at one time, I didn't know nobody. Just in a couple of days, I know three people who have it. Three people. But me and Mario, we went around Montebello, and it's crowded around me. We were around here walking. And I thought today, man, we got to put masks and gloves on. Because this thing can somebody be coughing, we can walk right through it and have it. Because people out there, like, it's crowded just like it was no restriction on what we can do. It's that crowded out. You barely can find a parking space around Montebello. If you ever know, Montebello is one of the reservoirs in Baltimore City. You know what a reservoir looks like. It's a body of water, big, but here we can ride bikes. We can, kids riding bikes, skateboarding, kids skating, grown people skating, grown people riding bikes. It was crowded as if we had no restrictions going around it. And I didn't dawdle in mind until Shawnee sent me something that somebody we know got it. He up in the hospital pleading with everybody else saying that, hey, this thing real. I could lose my life. And I'm like, hey, you know, with those who are essential workers, we got to take this thing serious. We got to be going outside with masks and gloves. And we know, we do know that Yahweh protects us. We do know that. But Scripture also says, don't tempt Yahweh. You know to do better, do better. You know that you got to wash your hands, wash your hands. You know you should be wearing gloves. When you touch certain things, wear some gloves if you got them. If you got to go outside, wear your mask. Get your mask. Wear a mask. You are us as essential workers. We got to do that. We got to protect ourselves. We don't want to tempt Yahweh. We know that. We want, even with Zach and Amin out, with all the herbs. We know Abba made all the herbs. He made the herbs. He know what can heal us and what can't heal. But again, even with that, we don't want to tempt Abba. We don't want to tempt him. So protect yourself when you're going outside. Protect your family when you're going outside. You don't know who you came in contact with. Especially for my brothers and sisters that work down the hospital, which it may not be as crowded, but y'all coming in with thousands of people. At least hundreds. Some of us who's going straight to a house and just got to be inside of a house. Still, we still don't know who's coming in and out that house. Different counselor. So we got to protect ourselves when it comes to this. Mentally, physically, and spiritually. This is the time Abba given us. Because something's coming. Something worse than what we think is coming. But Israel will be protected. That's Scripture. We can't take away from Scripture. But we do not want to tempt Yahweh at all. We don't want to tempt him. This thing is real. And it don't really hit home to us until we see somebody we know, somebody we even talked to, somebody we even shook hands, and you see them up in that hospital bed with all these ventilators and machines hooked to them. That's when you sit back and say, oh, I better take precaution. But I don't want to bring that home to my family. I don't want to catch that myself. I don't want to go through that. But if I do, I'm praying that Yahweh got me. I'm praying that the prayer warriors got me, that you get on the line and we can pray to Abba. But even I love when Shabba El brought out a couple of weeks when he was on here. But if I catch it, it ain't that it's something that I did. Hey, maybe this Abba will that you catch it. Maybe you going to be the one that Abba used, his will be done. That's it. Simple. Simple. Even with today's lesson coming home, as I had to talk to my rabbi earlier, I had to get some guidance from him, some direction from him. And after I got off the phone, as usual, talking to my rabbi, I felt good. spirit was gone. But before I called him, I was about to call him. It was probably a half hour before, and said, "You know what, Rebbe, I lost the battle. But I'm not out of the fight, but I lost the battle. My pressure is going up, pressure all over me. I feel like tingling all over my body. My chest is tightening. And you know what? My pressure up, I got a headache. I'm going to take me some pills, and I'm going to go ahead and chalk it up for the night to next week." But I sat there, and I started talking to myself. Started, but you can't be talking about what you spiritual warfare. You can't be talking about that you got to build your spirit up, you got to build your mind up, you got to build your physical up, and because you lost a battle, now you're going through your anxiety and all that, and you have this tingling all your body, your pressure up, and you can feel a headache. And you also feel an unclean spirit weighing on you too. So I started praying. I started playing me some music when I got up there, and it started lifting off me, and I got into the lesson, and even when I got into the lesson, some doubt was coming, so I had to call my rabbi and got talking to him, and he inspired me. He charged me up, and I was like, all right. I don't feel no anxiety. My body not tingling no more. The headache is gone. I took no pills. I got that unclean spirit off me myself. Same thing we talked about last week with Yahushua did. He had to motivate himself. He had to talk to himself. He had to get that offer. But even with that, I still reached out to my rabbi. I reached out to a brother, and he was a strong wall. He was an op. He gave me some word, and we talked, and we had a good time. And here we are today. Here I am right now, fired up, ready to go for Abba. Got rid of that. May have lost that battle, but I didn't lose the war, because I'm right back. I'm right here. And today, we're talking about Yahweh's mighty women. Yahweh's mighty women. And we talked about the mighty men last week, which we're still going to get back into, because the scripture is filled with mighty men. But we're going to go through some scriptures today. And we want to see where the women used wisdom and where it was courage shown. In some cases, there was wisdom and courage used all in the same scenario. But we want to see where they used wisdom and courage at the same time. Because, again, we want to start off with our opening scripture, which is in Ephesians 6, always, because with this right here, this is the mindset of where we are today, where we are right now in this world, how Abba is trying to build us. He has given us these lessons in this history of our people that we can go back and we can bring it up thousands of years and we can apply it to our lives today, where we need to grow, where we need to strengthen, where we need to be encouraged. So Ephesians 6, starting at 10, 10 through 13, family, be strong in Yahweh and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of Elohim, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not, and I'm in the WEVA, for those who may be reading just a little bit different than is very close to the King James, so you won't miss too much, or you'll be able to follow me. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world's rulers of the darkness of this age, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So that's our battle right there, family. Therefore, put on the whole armor of Yah, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. And you got the picture, Brother Shaul, as he's writing this. You know, he's picturing a spiritual warrior. And as we're fighting Because if you get to close, you can close your eyes, we're not going to fight with our eyes closed, but if you see in the spiritual, he understood that person in front of you that you may be going in with, that you may be arguing, that there's a motivation behind that person. And it all stems on how heated the battle gets, how heated the argument gets, that you can tell how strong the demon is behind that yourself. Even when yourself may have slipped and you get into a heated battle with a person, a heated argument with a person, where it moved away from the word of Yahweh, or it may have never started in the word of Yahweh, that you are now being infiltrated, or your shield and armor is down, that you have lost a battle. Why? Because you allow Hasatan, Satan, in, and now he is motivating you as well as the other person. That's why nothing can come to either an agreement, or nobody can have peace. Say, peace be still. The argument elevates and get higher and higher and higher until that still voice hollers and you able to hear that. But let's get to these sisters. We're going to start off 8:6. We're going to Tobit 8:6. That's Tobit 8:6. You made Adam and gave Eve, Kawa, his wife, for a helper and support. From them came the seed of men. You said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Let's make him a helper like him. How important was Kawa in Adam's life? Think about it. How important was it for Abba to say, let's make him a helpmate? How important was it for Abba to say, let's make him somebody also to support him? So a helpmate and a support is very important in this battle that we are in. You again keep in your mind that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Keep in your mind these spiritual helpmates, these supporters. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we have to keep saying that over and over and over again. I mean, we know that the word repeats itself a lot. We know that we can go through a lot of the stories within the Torah, the Bible, and find a lot of similarities. Because there's a point that Abba have to beat us. He got to beat it into our minds over and over and over again. This is something I'm trying to show you. So he beats it in our mind over and over again. How? Through repetition. Go through the Torah, Moses, because we go through that every Shabbat. Wow, so repetition. So it could be a part of our psyche. Because even when it becomes a part of our psyche, we still end up losing battles and wars that we get in. Because we miss that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We miss that. So let's keep at our forefront throughout this lesson. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We have helpmates. We have women who, and these stories, again, are not in here just so we can read over them. They're in here so we can learn from them. So we can learn that Abba has a role for men and Abba has a role for women. And both of them are important. That don't take away from the headship of man. When we go through a lot of these stories, it does not take away from that. But just in this sense, in this situation, did the woman use courage or did she use wisdom? Because sometimes, as men, our wisdom goes out the door. It goes, and we're going to read these. We're going to read. But it's word. So follow along, those who are following along. So let's go to Bamidbar 27, which is Numbers 27. Let's look at something that was a precedent that happened in Israel. And let's look at what Abba said to Moshe, how he gave the direction to Moshe after this that had never taken place in Israel, because sometimes, again, we don't know all the time as men. We don't know. Let's see, where was this courageous courage or wisdom that was used by our Koti? So we're going to Bamidbar 27, and we're going down to 11. We all probably have those who have not heard the story of the daughters of Zelophehad. Let's read it. Then the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hephrah, the son of Galid, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, came near. These are the names of the daughters: Mahalah, Noah, and Hagala, and Milcah, and Dizorah. They stood before Moses, and before Eleazar the priest, and before the princes, and all the congregation at the door of the tent of the meeting, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among the company of those who gathered themselves together against Yahweh in the company of Korah, but he did in his own sin. He died in his own sin. He had no son." Again, there's just a little lesson in there that I want to bring out. No, I'm not going to bring it out. Hopefully, I'll read it again. Let me read it. He was not among the companies of those who gathered themselves together against Yahweh in the company of Korah, but he died in his own sin. He had no son. Y'all got to forgive me, but Yahweh gave me a thought. I just got to say it, you know. So he said he was not against the company that came against Yahweh. Just food for thought. Did he come against Yahweh personally, or was it Moshe? Y'all remember the story. He came against Moshe. But there's a thought. Whenever you come against a man of Yahweh, you are actually, or daughter, coming against Yahweh. And I promise I'm not going to try to stop when Alba give me a thought, but I'm going to try to stay on point with the lesson and not go off family, but y'all know how I am, those who know me. Why should the name of our father be taken away from among his family because he had no son? Give to us a possession among the brothers of our father. Moses brought their causes before Yahweh. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "The daughters of Zelophehad speak right." Hold up. So was it courageous or wisdom? Courage or wisdom these daughters used? It was courage. Because all along, if this thing happened among Israel, they wasn't getting no inheritance. But they had to speak up for themselves. So sometimes our sisters going to have to speak up for themselves, but they have to do it with respect and honor. With respect and honor. You can't go, rah, 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 rah. What they did, they went before the congregation and they brought a cause. They brought something to be put in front of Yahweh. And the scripture says, Moshe went to Yahweh, and Yahweh said, "The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. You shall surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their fathers' brothers. You shall cause the inheritance of their fathers to pass to them. You shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a man dies and has no son, then you shall cause his inheritance to pass to his daughter. If he has no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, then you should give his inheritance to his father's brother. If his father has no brother, then you should give his inheritance to his kinsman, who is next to him of his family, and he shall possess it. This shall be a statute and ordinance for the children of Israel, as Yahweh commanded Moses. See, with the sister speaking up, Yahweh had to set a precedent. He had to go and, so to speak, write an amendment to his word. You know what? They write. I didn't have that in the word at first. All it was the male was inheritance. You know what? They write. They write. So Moses did. Let's write. Let's add this law. Let's get this right. Let this be a precedent to my Torah. Because if a man don't have no sons and he have daughters, his inheritance go to them. Because it's not fair that it pass them. And everybody get the pick. They steal of his seed. So the daughters was courageous. They had courage. They spoke up. And they used wisdom at the same time. See, these things in here, we can learn. We can learn from. We can grow. We can understand that Yahweh is flexible. He is flexible. Yes, he is stern in what he say, but this right here is the precedent. It changed things. He had to go in and say, all right, well, because of no son, the daughters can have the inheritance. We know before, all inheritance went to the sons, and was nothing spoken about the daughters, because the wisdom of the daughters, because the courage of the daughters, because they fought that spiritual battle. We're bringing it up. We're bringing it. We got to bring it to our day and time. We got to see it. So let's go to another Akoti that we just came through about a year ago that Yahweh used. Another sister, which I love. Got great admiration. And I love the book that when we went through, the sister Judith. Starting at 8, we're going to read both chapters, 8 and 9. And again, which one did the Akoti use? Wisdom or courage? Wisdom or courage? Wisdom or courage? We know our sister has courage because Yahweh would have never told Abraham, our forefather, to listen to our foremother, Sarah, hearken unto her. Listen to her. So if you have your Apocrypha handy, you're able to go to these two chapters in Shema. In fact, what I would love to say is, let's use our imagination. Let's be there. Let's see it as it unfolds. In the days of Judah heard about this. In those days, Judith heard about this. She was the daughter of Merari, the son of Ox, the son of Joseph, the son of Uziel, the son of Elkiah, the son of Ananias, the son of Gideon, the son of Rephaim, the son of Atu, the son of Eliyahu, the son of Eli, the son of Nathaniel, the son of Salami-Al, the son of Salafadah, the son of Yisrael. Her husband was Manasseh of her tribe and of her family. He died in the days of barley harvest, for he stood over those who bound seed in the field. And heat came upon his head, and he fell on his bed, and died in his city, Bethulah. So they buried him with his fathers in the field which is between Donathan and Balaman. Judith was a widow in her house 3 years and 4 months. She made herself a tent upon the roof of her house and put on sackcloth upon her loins. The garments of her widowhood were upon her, and she fasted all the days of her widowhood, except the eve of the Shabbat, the Shabbats, the eves of the new moon and the feast, and joyful days of the house of Yisrael. Hallelujah. She was a goodly countenance and exceedingly beautiful to behold. Her husband Manasseh had left her gold, silver, manservants, maidservants, cattle, and land. She remained on those lands. No one said anything evil about her, for she feared Elohim exceedingly. She heard the evil words of the people against the government, because they fainted for lack of water. And Judah heard all the words of Uzziah, spoke to them. He who swore to them that he would deliver the city to the Assyrians after 5 days. So she sent her maid, who was over all things that he had so summoned, to summon Uzziah, Carbis, and Shamus, the elders of her city. They came to her, and she said to them, "Hear me now, O you rulers of the inhabitants of Bethulah, for your word that you have spoken before the people this day is not right. You have set the oath which you have pronounced between Yah and you, and have promised to deliver the city to our enemies, unless within these days Yahweh turns to you to help you. Now who are you that you have tempted Yah this day, and stand in the place of Elohim among the children of men? Now try Yahweh Almighty, and you will never know anything." Hallelujah. "For you will not find the depth of the heart of man. You will not perceive the things that he thinks. How will you search out Yah? Who has made all these things and know his mind and comprehend his purpose? My kindred, don't provoke Yahweh Elohim to anger, for he has not decided to help us within these 5 days. He has power to defend us in such time as he will, or to destroy us before the face of our enemies. But don't you pledge the counsels of Yahweh Elohim? For Yahweh is not a man that he should be threatened, neither as the son of man that he should be turned by entreated. Therefore, let's wait for the salvation that comes from him and call upon him to help us. He will hear our voice if it pleases him. For there arose none in our age, neither is there any of us today, tribe or kindred or family or city, which have worshipped gods made with hands, and it was in the former days, because our fathers were given to the sword and for plunder, and fell with a great fall before our enemies. But we now know no other Elohim besides him. Therefore, we hope that he will not despise us, nor any of our race. For if we are taken, so all Judea will sit upon the ground. Our sanctuary will be plundered, and he will require our blood for profaning it. And the slaughter of our kindred, and the captivity of our land, and the desolation of our inheritance, he will turn upon our head among the Gentiles. Wherever we will be in bondage, will we be as an offense and a reproach before those who take us for a possession. Amen. For our bondage will not be ordered to favor, but Yahweh, our Elohim, will turn it to dishonor. And now, let's show an example to our kindred, because their souls hang upon us, and the sanctuary, the house, and the altar rest upon us. Besides all this, Let's give thanks to Yahweh our Elohim, who tries us even as he did our fathers also. Remember all these things which he did to Abraham, and all the things in which he tried Yitzchak, and all the things which he happened to Jacob in Mesopotamia of Syria, when he kept the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, for he has not tried us in the fire as he had did them, searched out their hearts. Neither has he taken vengeance on us. But Yahweh does stir them that come near to him to admonish them. And Uzziah said to her, all that you have spoken with a good heart. There is no one who will deny your words. For this is not the first day wherein your wisdom manifested, but from the beginning of your days. All the people have known your understanding, because the disposition of your heart is good. Amen. Let me read that again, sisters. I quote you. For all this is not the first day wherein your wisdom is manifested, but from the beginning of your days, all the people have known your understanding, because the disposition of your heart is good. But the people were exceedingly thirsty and compelled us to do as we spoke to them, and to bring an oath upon ourselves, which we will not break, because you are a godly woman, and Yahweh will send us rain to fill our cisterns, and we will faint no more. Then Judah said to them, hear me, and I will do a thing which will go down to all generations, which will go down to all generations among the children of our race. Amen. You shall all stand at the gate tonight. I will go out with my maid within the days after which you said that you would deliver the city to our enemies. Yahweh will visit Israel, by my hand, but you shall not inquire of my act, for I will not declare it to you until the things are finished that I will do. Then Uzziah's ruler said to her, go in shalom. May Yahweh Elohim be before you to take vengeance on our enemies. So they returned from their tent and went down to their stations. We're moving on to 9. The sister used wisdom. Wisdom. In fact, she was known for wisdom. She was known for it in Yisrael. But Judah fell upon her face. She not only used wisdom. When we read this, let's see what else the sister used. Let's see what else. And another thing, I quote you, she understood her relationship with Yahweh first and foremost. She understood her relationship with Yahweh. So in understanding her relationship with Yahweh, she would not go outside those bounds. She would not go outside those bounds because she understands the relationship she has with Yahweh. But Judah fell upon her face and put ashes upon her head and uncovered the sackcloth with which she was clothed. The incense of that evening was now being offered at Jerusalem in the house of Yahweh. And Judah cried to Yahweh with a loud voice and said, O Yahweh Elohim of my father, Shimon, into whose hand you gave sword to take vengeance on the strangers who loosened the belt of a virgin to defile her, uncovered the thigh to her shame, and profaned the womb to her reproach. For you said, it shall not be so, and they did so. And we just read about this last week, family, about when Shimon, Simon, and Levi, and Brother Shechem, I believe it was Shechem, took their sister Dina, and they went down and they slew the whole village. And listen to what our sister Judith is reading about it, because she's going back, she's pulling word. That means she's been studying. She understands. She knew that Yahweh did not allow that. Yahweh did not like that. Therefore, you gave their rulers to be slain, and their bed, which was a shame for her who was deceived to be dyed in blood, and struck the servants with their masters and the masters upon their thrones, and gave their wives for a prey, and their daughters to be captive, and all their spoils to be divided among your dear children, which were moved for zeal for you, and hoarded the pollution of their blood, and called upon you for aid, O Yahweh Elohim, Almighty One. Hear me also, I am a widow, for you did the thing that were before those things, and those things, and such as come after, and you planned the things which are now, the things which you are, which are to come, the things which are, which you plan to come to pass. Yes, the things which you determined stood before you and said, behold, we are here, for all your ways are prepared, and your judgment is with for knowledge. For behold, the Assyrians are multiplied in their power. They are exalted with horse and rider. They have glorified in the strength of their footmen. They have trusted in shield and spear, bow and sling. They don't know that you are Yahweh who breaks the battle. Yahweh is your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Break their strength and your power, and bring down their force and your wrath. I'm gonna pick back up, friend. But I just love when you hear somebody praying in power. They praying in power, whether they male or female. I love it. And the Akoti right now, she's praying in power for her people. She's on her knees, face to the ground, praying in power. And she's also bringing back to mind to Yahweh. Yahweh liked that. He liked when you regurgitate his word to him. He liked that. Like Yahweh saw, the word says, we can boldly go to the throne now. Break their strength and your power, and bring down their force and your wrath. For they intend to profane your sanctuary and to defile the tabernacle which your glorious name rests, and to destroy the horn of your altar with the sword. Look at their pride and send your wrath upon their heads. Give into my hand, which I am a widow, the might that I have conceived. Amen. Strike by the deceit of my lips the servant with the prince, and the prince with the servant. Break down the state lines by the hand of a woman. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For your power stands not in the multitude, nor your might in strong men, but you are an Elohim of the afflicted, You are a helper of the oppressed, an upholder of the weak, a protector of the forlorn, a savior of those who are without hope. Amen. Yes. Yes, Elohim of my father, and Elohim of the inheritance of Yisrael, Yahweh of the heavens, master of the heavens and of the earth, creator of the waters, king of every creature, hear my prayer. Make my speech and deceit to be their wound and strike, who intend to hard things against your covenant. Your hallowed house, the top of Zion, and the house of the possession of your Yaladi, your children. Make every nation and tribe of yours to know that you are power, the power of all power and might, and that there is none other that protects the race of Israel but you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She didn't just use wisdom. She didn't just use courage. She used the might of prayer. She didn't only pray for herself. She didn't only pray for the elders, the leaders. She prayed for the whole nation of Israel. She understood her role again. She understood that. And this thing, some roles that may be just used just for women. Because I doubt any man could have went and got close. Because if you finish reading the story, could have went and got close to that brother who was the general of the Assyrians. I doubt he would have had any man. But good thing we wasn't no blessed. It wasn't that one and that one. But Yahweh used the woman, and we go throughout the scriptures. He used the woman many times in this situation, which the woman did not. She did not defile herself. If you go and finish the story out, she got the brother drunk and cut his head off and walked out the tent with his head. And they gave her, and they left Yisrael alone on the back of her, on the back of this sister, right? The same thing, we can go through the story of Deborah. And as a matter of fact, Deborah even told Barak in the story that today a woman has saved Yisrael. Today a woman has saved. We have these stories to learn from. But to understand that there's a role for the man, there's a role for the sister. And sisters, we need y'all too. That's why Yahweh started off with that, and he made the man a helpmeet, a support. A support. So let's finish. We got some more chapters to go to. And let's see what was used with this one, with another one of our forefathers. We're going to Shemot 4. Starting at verse 24. Let's see what was used, wisdom or courage. Shemot is the book of Exodus, for those who don't know what Shemot is. On the way at lodging place, Yahweh met Moses and wanted to kill Moses. Not Moshe. Not who was most humble than all the house of Israel. That don't take away from that. That's true. He is the most humble, because scripture says he was the most humble in all the house of Israel. But Yahweh wanted to kill Moshe. What? Yahweh wanted to kill him. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet. And she said, surely you are a bridegroom of blood to be. Moses didn't do something that I would ask him. He didn't circumcise his son. So his wife stood in the gap for him. She stood in the gap for him and did it. His wife saved his life. His wife saved his life. We may not know Moshe if the Akodi didn't stand in the gap for him. We may not be reading, but right here may be the end of Moshe. We may not be reading about Midbar, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. We may not be reading that if it wasn't for the Akodi standing in the gate, who stood up courageously and circumcised his son. 26. So he let him alone. What? Who let him alone? So Yahweh left Moses alone for what Zipporah did. Then she said, you are a bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision. And Yahweh said unto Aharon, go into the wilderness to meet Moshe. He went and met him on Yahweh's mountain and kissed him. You know what, though? I really have to. I'm going to have to say it, man. I got to say it. I got to bring it up. He did what he did, and he was wrong, and he stood in the gap, but you had to come down on the brother like that. I even knew you came down on him. Hey, Moses is hurting bad, man. Go see your brother. Go get him. He needs some help. We appreciate you. We love you. Dial it back a little bit. Dial it back. I can see the whole story. You got it. Using my picture. What? Oh, you're about to get killed. Yahweh's about to kill you. grab a son, poop him, grab a rock, cut him, family, blood all over the place. How old the brothers was or anything, we don't know. So Yahweh told him to do it, he ain't doing it, and Yahweh was going to kill him. She panicking, she got anxiety, but she still know what she got to do. She still got to step in the gate because, you know, that's my husband. That's my issue. I'm upset with him right now. He did what I obviously do, but I stood in the gap for him. I took that full flesh, I cut it off, threw it at his feet. Gave him a few choice words. Moshe was there. Yeah, right? If you see the whole picture, man, you got to love Yahweh. You was wrong. I was about to kill you. But I still love you, Moses. You go over there, man. Go over there, kill your brother. That's your brother. Go tear him up. He was wrong. I was going to get him. But I knew the support was going to do that. I knew that she was a goodly woman. As we just read about Judah. I knew she was standing again. So, but Moshe, she gave some choice words. Go cheer Moshe up, man. Moshe is broken. Now, I know you, brother, sitting back. Oh, yeah, I can feel Moshe pain. We all been there. Especially because when we're wrong, and if you're wrong and you ain't foolish with your wrongness, that you got to argue back. But if you're wrong and you know your Isha coming down on you, and you just sitting there like, okay, okay. You got that okay voice going on and the dumb look. I don't know. To the brother over there with the question, go cheer that brother up, man. That's just the dude. That's just the came down on you. She gave you some choice words. It's funny, but it's real life. Because we all been there. See, I know the eye coach is laughing, but I know y'all was there. Y'all know brother wrong, and you just came down on rah! God. But we appreciate y'all again. I quote it. We appreciate it because sometimes the passion is the best of y'all and y'all have our best interest at hand, but because the passion gets the best of y'all, a little bit too many choice words may come out. And Alvin know and understand that too. That's why he sent his brother over there. We may go up there, or Moshe up there. He probably up there crying. Go get him. You know what I mean? Her own knew what was going on, so he go up there, kissed his brother. He greeted him with a kiss, as the scripture said. Probably hugged him, and they probably talked about it. You know what? No, what happened? We know how we are. We know what we did. You know, I was going to do it right, but no, you ain't doing what I was saying, doing. So our coach, he had to step in and save your life. Torah. So after this one, let's move on to 2 Maccabees. We all know about 2 Maccabees. We all know about 2 Maccabees. And we all know that this was courage, wisdom, obedience, and anything else you want to name. Anything else you want to name in 2 Maccabees, starting at chapter 7, starting at verse 20. For those who are following along and taking notes. Excuse me. So we know, again, we have to put, we want to put ourselves here because ain't nothing like this bond right here. Nothing. There's no greater bond physically, that is, than a woman carrying a child for 9 months, 9 or 10 months, whatever. And she gets to talking to that baby. That baby get the kicking in them. Matter of fact, we read something about the womb is blessed. The womb is blessed. But that baby for 9 months start off as just a blood clot and it grows within her. She's fairly, the first kick, she's excited. And from then on, she's talking and reading to her. She carried that baby for 9, 10 months. There's a bond right there. To have life growing inside you. You didn't have to turn around and give that life up to see your son, to see your son die, not just any death, You can think of the most imaginable death that you can think of. You still wouldn't want to see there, see your son. And go back, I believe that was in the fourth Maccabees or third Maccabees, because that gets detailed. That gets very detailed in, I believe, the third or fourth Maccabees, one of them, about the seven sons. Go back and read it. And there's lessons in all that, too. Lessons of the courage of this woman, this mother. But not only the courage, not only the wisdom, the faith that she had in Abba. The faith that she had in him. How she stood on Torah. She stood on Torah. Can you imagine that? Just look at it from Abba's eyes now. That daughter. Imagine where her place at in the kingdom. That daughter, that Akoti. And we hear nothing about the husband, so we don't know if she was a widow or not. We don't know, because we hear nothing. As a matter of fact, the story ain't about him, it's about her. It's about the faith of her and her seven sons, but the encouragement that she gave her seven sons. Because they all stood off of her. They all fed off of her encouragement. They all stood and fed off of the rock that was on her. Every last one of them. We just going to read one of them. In your spare time, go back and read today and ask Abba to open that up for you. Gems in there. Gems. Okay, let me see. Our second Maccabees. I'm in second Ephesians. I'm in second Ezra. Sorry, family. Let me move on to second Maccabees 7. All right. On that verse 12. Here we go. I'm here. Let's listen to what the word says about this. As we put in our minds here, as we preparing to hear the story, let's see it as we hear it. But above all was the mother marvelous and worthy of honorable memory. For when she looked on seven sons perishing within the space of one day, she bared the sight with a good courage for the hopes that she had set on Yahweh. And she exalted each one of them in the language of their father, a noble temper, and stirring up her womanhood, thought with manly passions, saying to them, I know not how you came into my womb, that I bestowed on you your spirit and life, and it was not I that brought into order the first elements of each one of you. Therefore, the Creator of the world, who fashioned the generation of man and devised the generation of all things, in mercy gives back to you again both your spirit and your life, as you now know, contemn your own selves for his Torah's sake. But Antiochus, thinking himself to be despised and suspecting the reproached voice while the youngest was yet alive, didn't only make his appeal to him by words, but also at the same time promised with oath that he would enrich him and raise him to a high estate if he would turn from the customs of his father, and that he would take him for his friend and entrust him with affairs. When the young man would not in no wise give heed, the king called to him his mother, and exalted her that she would counsel the lad to save himself. And when he had exalted her with many words, she undertook to persuade her son. But bending toward him, laughing the cruel tyrant to scorn, she spoke thus in the language of her father, "My son, have pity upon me that carried you 9 months in my womb and gave you suck 3 years and nourished and brought you up to this age and sustained you. I beseech you, my child, to lift your eyes to the heaven and the earth and to see all things that are therein, and thus to recognize that Yah made them not of these that were, and that the race of men in this wise comes not into being. Don't be afraid of this butcher, but proving yourself worthy of your kindred, accept your death, that the mercy of Yah I may receive you again with your kindred." But before she had yet ended speaking, the young man said, Whom wait for you? I obey not the commandment of the king, but I listen to the commandment of the Torah that was given to our fathers through Moses. But you, and it might not have been if it wasn't for Paul. Just got to keep running that one. "But you that have devised all manner of evil against the Hebrews shall in no wise escape the hands of Yah. For we were suffering because of our own sins. And if we rebuke and chastening of living, Yahweh has been angered a little while, yet shall he again be recounseled with his own servant. But you, O unholy man, and of all most vile, be not vainly lifted up in your wide pride with uncertain hopes, raising your hand against the heavenly children." Amen. "For not yet have you escaped the judgment of the Almighty Yah that sees all things. For these our kindreds, having endured a short pain that brings everlasting life, have now died under Elohim's covenant. But you, through the judgment of Yah, shall receive in just measure the penalty of your arrogance. But I, as my kindred, give up both body and soul for the Torah of our fathers, calling upon Yah that he may speedily come gracious to the nation, and that you might amidst trials and plagues may confess that he alone is Elohim." Amen. And I gotta read that again, that part right there. "And that you might admit trials and plagues may confess he alone is Elohim. Plagues may confess that he alone is Elohim. Message. And that in me and my kindred you may stay the wrath of Almighty, which have been justly brought upon our whole race. But the king, falling into a rage, handed him worse than all the rest, being expirated at his mocking. So he also died pure from pollution, putting his whole trust in Yahweh." Amen. "At last, all after her son, the mother died." At last, after all her son, the mother died. Hardest thing in the world to see your children pass away. This mother, for the word of Yahweh, stood her ground, and not only stood her ground, encouraged each and every one of her sons to stand the ground. Remember, family, you wrestle not against flesh and blood. Remember where we are in history right now, what day it is, what time it is, what's the time, what's going on in this world, and what we need to strengthen, that spirit, what we need to grow in, that Ruach, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. We need to grow in that, waiting upon the second help. waiting upon the second help. But we read about some women who moved without the second help, who was convinced that Yahweh they live for and Yahweh they die, and encourage each and every one around them for Yahweh they live for and Yahweh they die. The character of these women was known. We're reading about this mother today. Scripture says she was more noble than them all. She was more noble than them all. Sister Judith, she said out of her own mouth that they'll be reading about this for generations. What I do, the act that I do will be remembered for generations. Why? Because I'm acting on the behalf of Yah, first and foremost, and his people, Israel. I understand my role and what Abba needs me to do. No different than what Brother Eliezer said, and when he jumped off that mountain with the legion of men around the elephant, and he killed the elephant. He said, this deed would be knocked down, and they'd be talking about this deed for generations, and we're reading about that. We're reading about these Akotis, these sisters, for generations they did for Israel. And they understood they was helping support us. They understood their role in what Yahweh had for them to do. They understood that. So we got one more script, man. We got two more scriptures, fam. Two more scriptures. And I don't know. But this scripture right here we want to go to, because it was a many of sisters, a many of Akotis that I wanted to go to. But Yahweh said, no, keep it short. Keep it short. A many, we could have read through the sister Deborah. What came to mind earlier the week before Yahweh changed it, was the two sisters that, and how he gave it to me in a story about these two Akokis. He gave it to me as Israel was being crucified, their men was being murdered, their boys was being murdered, their innocence was being murdered. No different than today, our boys and our innocence are being murdered by this tyrant, by this king. And he wanted the women to not only, as he was taking the boys, throwing them in the river, but he wanted them to kill the babies as they were coming out of the womb. See, I would use these two sisters, these two, I forgot the name of them, but these two sisters who was helped birthing, I forgot the name of it, it come to me. That was help birthing the babies, midwives. There you go. Oh, yeah. That was help birthing the babies. He said the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They had babies quick and natural. Quick and natural. They're not like no other women, the Hebrew women. We see that today. They're not like no other women. But they are often duplicated. They are often imitated. They're often imitated. We got our sisters today. Our sisters' mind, some of our sisters' mind has been flipped around, and they see beauty from another. They see prettiness from another. When they imitate you, Yisrael, they imitate you, have imitated you for thousands of years, but they hoodwinked you. They flipped it around and said, yeah, you got to straighten your hair and comb your hair, let it be long down your back, and you done took the crown off your head. Because what Yahweh gave you is something that stand up on your head, that grows straight up. And it was thick, it was full. But Yahweh hoodwinked bamboo and said, no, that's not beauty. That's not beauty. That's not. Let Israel, let the women of Israel all wear wraps. And I guarantee you the world will follow. I guarantee you the world will follow. So I love how I quote these, our sisters walk around like peacocks. not in the pride of this world, but understanding the beauty of Yahweh, the Ruach of Yahweh is upon them. So they walk around, say, he is held high and covered. They understand what true beauty really is. And that's within. That's from within. That comes from the Ruach HaKodesh, the true beauty, when you are imitating and emanating Yahushua HaMashiach. You can't get no more beautiful than that, emanating Yahushua HaMashiach, when it resonates from you, when the world knows that you are a goodly woman. You are a goodly woman. A woman who knows how to control her passion. A woman who knows how to speak wisdom, to speak life into a situation. A helpmate. A helpmate. But again, we have so many sisters, so many Akotis throughout the word of Yahweh have done so many things. Now, you think about our foremother, Sabah. What she have done for the nation. She was the mother of Yisrael, so to speak. The mother of Yisrael. Even though we know that Yisrael is composed of four women. You know, why Israel is composed of four women? You know, somebody who may not know, what do you mean four women? Because our forefather Yaakov had four wives. The nation of Israel came from four women. These four women that he had, that had his babies. Four. Why four women? Why? What could four women represent? Why four women? Could it be for the Yod Heh Vav Heh? Then we look at one of the four women, Leah. Well, what's up with Leah? The one that wasn't loved. This the one that was hated. This the one was not the favorite of our forefather Yaakov. But who did she have? Who did she have? She had Reuben. She had Shimon. I believe it was Shimon. Shimon was next. She had Shimon, Simeon. She said Levi. And then she had Yahuda. And when she had Yahuda, what did she say out of the mouth? Which happened to be the fourth child. Which was the fourth child, now she said, now I should praise Yahweh. Now I should praise Yahweh. With the fourth child. But it was four women who started off. Why the fourth child? You're going to praise Yahweh. Pointing to. And what's coming out of that fourth child? We know, but those who don't know, the Messiah coming out of that fourth child. We know that he's the door, the fourth, the Dalit. He's coming out of that. The fourth child. He's going to come out of that. But all this is from the woman who was not loved, who was not looked at as the favorite. And she just look at the four. We're not just throwing away the rest, but just look at the four she had. Just look at the four she had. We're not throwing away the rest. All of them are important. All of them point to something. We know that. But let's just look at the four that Leah had. Just those four. And why she only had four, why she couldn't have five, why she couldn't have three. The one that wasn't like. It's food for thought, family, because it's a multitude of women throughout the scripture. And they written there for a reason. Again, we know that the Torah does not use fuller. Yahweh does not use fuller for his word. He don't have to. There's no fuller. And with this, one of these, the next scripture we're going to is in Bereshit. Cannot, we asked the question last week, you can't talk about no woman of the Bible. You cannot talk about not one woman of the Bible without, matter of fact, you can't talk about no woman that ever walked the face of the earth. I don't care who she is. Ever walk the face of the earth without talking about Kawah. You can't. Which is Eve. You cannot talk about no woman on the face of the earth without talking about cover. You can't do it. Why? We all know why. Because if it wasn't for her, matter of fact, let's read it. Let's read Bereshit 3:20. Giving me paraphrasing. Then the man called his wife Eve, because she would be the mother of all the living, as male and female. Everything after Adam, Yahweh started. And you know what? We understand the sin that she did, and because of the sin that she did, life was given to her. But was that such a curse, or was it more of a blessing? Because he knew, understood through her line, and once you get on a certain line, that his son, Yahushua, will come through that. All the way through. So you can't talk about no woman without talking about or giving honor to Kawa. We know she did what she did. We know she sinned. But even when you get some understanding, we know that that was Abba's will. For those who don't have the understanding, stay tuned. Call a brother or sister up. Talk to somebody and ask them, how was that Yahweh's will that Kawa sinned? And the short version of it is because if Adam and Eve never got kicked out of the garden, there would be no mankind. If Adam and Eve, if Eve didn't do what she did, Adam and Eve and mankind would never understood that Yahweh is good. Why? Because you have nothing to compare to. You have nothing to compare Yahweh to. Because all you know is Yahweh. That's it. But Yahweh wants man to make a conscious decision on whom he wants to choose, who he wants to serve, male and female. You're given a choice on who do you want to serve. Who do you want to serve? You want to serve this world? You want to serve your flesh? Or you want to serve the Creator? Again, look at the time we're at. And if you believe in Yahweh, you know, understand that he took away everything. He took away everything. So we got one last scripture. And the thing about it is, sat down Monday about this last scripture. We're going to Proverbs. We're not even going to read. Matter of fact, let's just read the whole thing. We got time. We got time to read the whole thing. Proverbs 31. We ain't going nowhere. We're going to end it on this glorious thing. We're going to end it off talking about our Kotis. The words of King Lemuel, the revelation which his mother taught him. The revelation which his mother taught him. O my son of my womb. O son of my vow, don't give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroy kings. And it is not for kings, Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes to say, where is strong drink, lest they drink and forget the Torah and pervert the justice due to anyone who is afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is ready to perish, and wine to the bitter in soul. Let him drink and forget and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute in the cause of all who are left docile. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and serve justice to the poor and needy. And this is one thing we read is we often forget who was talking. This is his mother talking to him, the king. Who can find a worthy woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband trusts in her. He shall have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works eagerly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her bread from afar. She raises also while it is yet night, gives food to her household and portions for her servants and girls. She considers all field a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands. She plants a vineyard. She arms her waist with strength and makes her arm strong. She perceives that her merchant is profitable. Her lamp does go out by night. She lays her hands to the staff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opened her arm to the poor, yes, her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes for herself carpets of tapestries. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected in the gate when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. Amen. She opens her mouth with wisdom. Faithful instruction is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women do noble things, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears Yahweh, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hand. Let her works praise her in the gate. Amen. 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 And as I was reading that, I was thinking about all the Akotis that we went through tonight. I also was thinking about the Akotis that here at Bet Yahweh. I want to give a special thanks to the Akotis, those who make sure for years that we have just a hot drink to drink. Those who see it not as to do for her family, her Mishpachah, Bet Yahweh. Those who bring in food, those who bring in nourishment to our body, those who see forth and fit to just work over a stove to bring in something so we and Bet Yahweh can be fed every Shabbat. Every Shabbat. I want to personally thank my Akoti, personally thank y'all for not only thinking of yourselves, but for thinking of the whole. Thank you, Akoti. We appreciate y'all. We may not say it all the time, but we appreciate just a hot cup of coffee or some hot ginger. And we thank y'all for that. Thank y'all for the nourishments that y'all bring in, that y'all cook for us. Thank y'all for that. And no, we don't take it for granted. And if we do, forgive us for that. Because it's much appreciated. It's much appreciated. Thank those who even sing and set up and think of ways or allow the Ruach to bring songs so we can sing through the song, the Psalms of Yahweh. So we're going to thank the Akoti for that. We're going to thank you for that, for being a helpmeet to Al Kazan. Thank you, those who stand in the gap, those who sit up with your husband and help him with his lessons. We want to thank you all for that. Those that have an Isha to sit down and talk to you about his lessons. Those who helping your Isha when he go to the left and to the right. Those who, what we as men will say, oh man, she's nagging. We thank you for nagging. We thank you for constantly being a supporter when we don't see that Yahweh is ready to slay us. And through your deeds, through the things that you see, yeah, the wisdom that Yahweh has given you, we thank you for that. We thank you for being the Judas. When we make wrong decisions, that you stand in the gap and you say, no, you spoke out of turn. Thank you for that wisdom. And thank you, Rabbison, for always being beside our rabbi, our spiritual leader, Rabbi Yaakov. We thank you for pushing him. We know he gets tired. We know that he carries a lot. We need that Isha. And for all the Marais and their Ishas, for all the Ox and their Ishas, even though Ox who do not have an Isha, we thank you for turning in the gap and talking to them and giving them wisdom when they call upon you. Okay, we are our Mishpacha. We thank you, Ema, for always being there. We thank you, each and every Akoti at Bet Yahweh, for standing in the gap, for nagging, for seeing where we haven't seen, and for always pushing, for always supporting, for always being there. And I always talk about that because there was a time that I was about to give up when the lights gave out and the Akoti sent me a text. Push me was that support. Get on that battlefield and fight. Thank you for that. In Yahushua's name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the end of my Torah portion, family. Wanted to talk about Yahweh's mighty women. Let me find a closing prayer, closing blessing, and end with a prayer. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to the young. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Yisrael with shalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're in the Shabbat right now. Pray for all those who are taking hold of it, have laid down their burden, and bask in Yahweh's Shabbat. Torah Abba Yah, once again, for giving me your word. Torah Abba Yah, for the daughters, for your daughters, Father, your daughters of Yisrael, Father, for those who've been on the front line since day one, Father, for those who live to see your kingdom come to this world, Father. Torah for that, Father. Continue to strengthen the daughters of Israel, Father. Continue to allow them to grow, Father. Continue to keep them, Father. Continue to watch over them, Father. Continue to allow them to be our helpmates, Father. Continue to let them know that they are needed. So we are joint heirs, Father. That's what the scriptures call us, joint heirs. In Yahushua's name I pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael.
Thinking about the world, looking at the nation. Suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind. Times are changing, yeah. No more rumors, there are wars going on. Twisted doctor, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall. People dying for no reason at all. People of God don't even read their Bibles. There's no faith, no trust in the word. But everybody seems to be quoting scripture. It's just another word they heard. Pastors leaving pulpits cause they're tired. It's all based on how we feel. I overheard two people speaking the other day. One said that God's not real, but I'm just one of them more people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care yeah. I believe, I believe, yeah. So I'll choose to look on the brighter side, in spite of all the negativity I'm surrounded by. No, it ain't perfect, but that's alright, 'cause His hand is on me and it's keeping me alive. So many disappointments, so much I don't understand, so much I don't have answers for. That's what makes me trust You more. In a world that's always changing, everything's rearranging, but no matter what's going on, I'ma be standing, I'ma be holding on. Your truth, their truth, my truth, Your God, my God, our view. All I know is one thing nowadays, is we all need hope, we all need faith, and I'm just one of them old people who's gotta hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe He's taking care of me. Yes, He is. Oh, I'm just one of them old people God's gotta hold on. Don't you let go of me, Lord, please, I believe, I believe, yeah. Oh, I'm just one of them old people who's gotta hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe He's taking care of me. Yes, He is. Yeah.